We turn in God's Word this morning to Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom out of his mouth, cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoiceth to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. As far as we read the Word of God. Our text this morning is found in verses 1 through 5. Of the chapter, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. We well know that the training of our children is of utmost importance to them and to the church. God saves, but He uses the means of godly parents who fear the Lord and who take their baptismal vows seriously. We vow to train up our children to the utmost of our power in the doctrines of the Scriptures. And we use, as parents, every means available to do that. We give instruction in those truths to our children. We discipline them in those truths. And we, as parents, walk in a godly manner in our own lives so that when our children see us walking in such ways, then they follow after our example. And in this way, we find that God uses covenant training to shape, to mold, and to show our children, reveal to our children their place within the kingdom of God in this world. Such training, however, that is given by parents is not stiff and merely formal. There is no doubt that there is a side to our training of our children that requires of them objective learning. There's some formal training that goes on. They must apply themselves to memorizing God's Word and learning God's commandments. And that instruction, therefore, is in a formal sense. But training of covenant children goes beyond mere formal training. All our training must be done out of a deep love for God, a deep love for His Word, and we ought to show this to our children, our deep love for them too as members of the Church of Jesus Christ. Our children must see in us, and must be able to see in us, that everything we do is done out of a genuine concern for their souls and their place in the church, and also a genuine love for them as fellow citizens of the kingdom of God. This is necessary, and it's necessary for our training to be fruitful. Love for our children must permeate everything that we do. But there is an additional matter that is presented to you and to me by the wise man Solomon in the Word of God that we have before us this morning. Solomon addresses for us the goal or the purpose of all godly training of our children. The goal of all covenant training, Solomon teaches us in particular now in verse 5 of our text, is to teach our children an understanding of the fear of Jehovah. Solomon points out that this requires of us, of course, to teach them wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, but all of these with this end or purpose in mind, that we want to teach them, in as much as is possible, to fear God. And when our children find this wisdom, then they also understand the necessity, the comfort, and even the beauty of fearing Jehovah. Solomon instructs us in these verses now this morning before us as a father. He addresses a son. But as we well know in the Proverbs, not only does that son refer to the sons of his household, but to the daughters of his household too. And he wishes as a father to impart to his children now wisdom. Though we will consider these verses in somewhat of an objective manner, because that's what the Word of God before us requires of us, nevertheless, we ought to look at this from the personal point of view of the training of a father and a mother, and words of wisdom that they impart now to their children. And that in turn teaches us as parents what must be our goal, first of all, in raising our children. We call attention, therefore, to this Word of God under the theme, Understanding the Fear of the Lord. Understanding the Fear of the Lord. In the first place, teaching wisdom. Here we have a requirement that is given to parents. Teaching wisdom to our children. Secondly, seeking understanding. So now we have a requirement of the children and the youth of the church. And then finally, finding knowledge. Teaching wisdom, seeking understanding, and finding knowledge. Parents, you must have a goal and a purpose behind all of the training of this child as well as all of your children. A goal and a purpose that all of us have as parents in the home. The instruction and discipline of children is not just a willy-nilly thing. It's not just something that we simply do, and that unconsciously in our raising of children. Just as we always hope to accomplish a certain end with respect to everything that we do, so also with the training of our children. And that goal must be set before us at all times as we raise them. It must be a chief desire to teach our children wisdom. Wisdom. Not the wisdom of this world, but the wisdom that is from on high, that is spiritual wisdom. Now, as we noticed, our text is not really written to parents. It's actually a parent giving instruction to his children. That's evident from verse 1 already, where Solomon addresses his son, my son. Neither ought we to lose that focus, and we hope not to, this morning as we consider now the passage that we have before us. But though the emphasis of our text falls upon children and the youth of the church, because that is really in particular who Solomon is instructing, a young son who is probably in his teenage years. Nevertheless, there is an implied word in the passage before us to parents. If a child is going to incline his or her ear to wisdom, well, it necessarily implies that parents are going to teach them that wisdom, first of all. Wisdom. That's a wonderful tool, a wonderful guide that every child of God needs in order to guide and lead him through this present life in this world. It's a gift that begins with knowledge and understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding are all interrelated with one another. They all are an integral part of each other. We've learned that in verses 2 and 3 of our text, that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. We see there that he uses the words wisdom and knowledge and understanding in connection with one another. That's why we say that wisdom is a gift that really begins with knowledge and understanding. In order for a person to be wise, first of all, therefore, he must have knowledge. Now, I want to explain that a little bit, as I mentioned earlier, from an objective point of view, first of all. If a person is going to be wise as an astronomer, for example, he is not going to be very wise if he doesn't know anything about the stars. He has to have a knowledge of the stars and the heavenly luminaries, the planets, and so on, if he's going to be a good astronomer. A person cannot call himself or herself a geologist unless he or she has a good knowledge of the earth and what makes up the earth. Wisdom in these matters requires, first and foremost, knowledge. A person must have knowledge of something in order to be wise. He cannot base what he believes or what he does in life on mere feelings or premonitions. If a person did that, that person would be a foolish person. To know something is to be familiar with it so that we are able to discern that particular thing as truth, as a fact. It is to distinguish and to separate from the rightness and the wrongness of certain things so that we can come to know what we need to know about that particular object or person or whatever it might be so that it's indisputable fact to us. Here is the knowledge of an indisputable fact for me. And then connected with that inseparably is understanding. You have to have that knowledge and then an understanding of what you know. And God gives that to man too, doesn't he? Not only does he give to us knowledge, but he gives us a certain understanding of those facts that we have come to know. By study, by experience, we receive a deep insight into these things so that we begin to understand them. Understand them. For example, again, a chemist learns the facts concerning protons and neutrons and everything else by means of mathematical equations, formulas, codes that he has to learn. And those formulas would mean absolutely nothing to me because I'm far from a chemist. But that chemist has an understanding of these and how these formulas work together. And understanding them, he is able to discover many things about those formulas, is able to perhaps come up with new drugs or how to treat people and so on. He has an understanding now of that knowledge. So that understanding now includes things like perception, and we find that Solomon talks about perception a little bit later on in the same chapter, discernment of that knowledge, so that we can take that knowledge and put it to good use. We understand it. So knowledge and understanding are vital and indispensable to wisdom. We've already touched on that already. With understanding comes a certain amount of wisdom. And yet wisdom goes beyond that too. It's more than mere knowledge. It's more than mere understanding. Wisdom, people of God, is being able to take hold of that knowledge and the understanding that we've come by that knowledge and to apply it very practically in life. As we pointed out, a chemist can develop drugs so that he's in wisdom using his knowledge and that understanding of that knowledge to develop something out of it. And that's true too, isn't it? What good is knowledge? What good is understanding if we cannot even use it? What good is it if we understand something if we cannot put that to some kind of practical use in our lives? What good is it if a man knows all about the engine of a car and yet he can't handle a wrench? Doesn't do a whole lot of good. So we see what wisdom is. It's practical skill. It's skill. It's the ability to discern the right way and then go out and to follow that particular way in whatever we put our hearts and minds to do, finding the right formula, so to speak. Now, that wisdom, with its knowledge and understanding, parents are called upon to teach their children. There's no doubt that parents must teach wisdom to their children in the things of this world, as we've just described. That's why we're interested in giving our children a secular education in the things of this present world, because we wish to prepare them for their place in this world by giving them knowledge, understanding, and then imparting to them wisdom so that they can go out and eke out living in this present world. But this is not the wisdom that we are called in the Word of God before us this morning to impart to our children. The wisdom that we are called upon to impart to children is highly spiritual in nature, a wisdom that is from above, as James speaks of it. As is evident from the rest of the chapter and all of Proverbs, the words that covenant parents speak to their children, the commandments they set before them, are God's word and God's commandments. And that's where it all starts, when we impart wisdom to our children. Verses 1 and 2, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee," my words, my commandments, "so that thou incline thine heart unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding," and so on. I realize it sounds like Solomon is saying to his son, listen, you have to apply your heart to my commandments, and you have to listen to my word. But in essence, what Solomon is talking about here is God's commandments, God's word. My son, hear the commandments of God that I'm teaching to you, and hear the word of God that I'm applying to you in your lives. That's what's important. And though parents perhaps might give their own commandments and might teach their children their own word in certain instances, nevertheless, even at least that's true of covenant parents, even then, those commandments that I'm giving and that word that I'm teaching is still rooted in God's word and in God's commandments. These words and commandments of parents to their children are all geared toward, they all center in teaching their children godly wisdom. That's the goal. That's the purpose of instruction. Wisdom. Wisdom in the ways of God. The word to parents then in our text is this. Teach your children to be wise. Wise in the ways of God. Wise in His Word. Wise in His commandments. So that they might exercise in their own lives spiritual discretion. And that begins with diligent instruction in the Word of God. Our children must have knowledge. They cannot be strong children of God. They cannot be wise children of God unless they know God's Word. Knowledge. That's essential. The knowledge is not merely imparted upon children when we take them to church and we send them to catechism. As essential as that is, that's how we as parents see to it that they're being taught in knowledge as well. That knowledge is not merely gained when we, perhaps in our homes, might teach our children a secular education, or we take our children and we send them to a Christian school, because after all, we want them to be taught in the Word of God, in commandments of God, and that even in that instruction, that's essential, but that's not all. That knowledge must be imparted by mothers and fathers at home, so that we as parents are the ones who ultimately are teaching our children the Word of God and His commandments. We have to instruct and ourselves live in those commandments for the sake of our children. And when our children violate those commands, and they violate that Word of God, well, then they have to be disciplined in that Word, in commandments. They must know, there's knowledge, they must know what God requires of them in His Word and in His commandments. That's, knowledge is vital to wisdom. And then also by means of our lives and training of our children, we will teach them the understanding of God's Word and commandments. In other words, they must be taught by parents how this Word of God is to be used by them in order to conduct their spiritual lives in this world. They will begin to discern the necessity of knowing God's Word and walking in the way of His commandments in order that they might live as members and citizens of God's kingdom. They'll see how that Word guides them in understanding that Word and will keep them from straying down paths that they ought not to be walking. The Word of God isn't some ready-made handbook, you know, that gives this understanding. We as parents have to use the knowledge and give unto our children the understanding of God's Word so that when they face particular temptations or when they're faced with the philosophies and the ungodly wisdom that is from below, the wisdom of this world, that they're going to be able to discern between what's right for them to do, what's wrong for them. Because they've got this understanding, you see, of God's Word. Not just this objective knowledge, but that Word of God lives in them in such a way that they come to understand how it can be used in their lives. And that, of course, once again, is what makes them wise. In every situation of life that they confront, they will be able to take God's Word that they've been taught now and that they now understand as they grow up in the church, and they'll be able to use that in a very practical way in life to lead and direct them in the paths of God's Word. In every area of life, whether that be when they're out on their own and they're faced by the temptations of much of the entertainment of this present world, whether they're off at school or at college or what have you, They're going to be able to take God's word, and they're going to be wise in that word of God. And then when they see they are walking in a wrong and sinful way in the areas of their life, then they'll turn away from that way too, seek forgiveness from God, and then continue to walk in the right way. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? When parents are spiritually weak in their own walk of life, leaving a poor example to children, you cannot help but expect that your children are going to slough off in their life too. They'll slough off because you've been poor disciplinarians. You haven't disciplined your children properly from little on. They'll slough off because you haven't been a very good example to them in the way that you live. They'll slough off because you haven't taught them the way that you should have been teaching them at home. They may have all kinds of knowledge, you see. They might have the smarts in this world so that they can excel in their studies and what they do in this world. But when it comes to spiritual things, not very wise. Not going to be very wise. And they're going to be foolish, actually, in the way that they walk in life. That's why it's so important, you see, as parents, to teach our children wisdom. Wisdom. And that by exercising our own wisdom in life. So, you have the calling of parents toward our children. And that's why in our text, in reality, now contains instruction to children. Parents who are doing what's right can come to their children and say, "Son of mine, daughter of mine, here are the ways of knowledge, here are the ways of understanding, here are the ways of wisdom now. Seek after them. Hide my commandments with thee, son, daughter, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord." Notice, too, that in verses 3 and 4, these are prefaced with the word, if. If. If you do these things, children, you will understand the fear of the Lord. Now, I would dare say that in 1953, in our churches, when we went through the controversy of a conditional covenant, this passage would be brought up in order to prove that the children of the covenant had to do something first before God would actually save them. The promise of salvation, it was claimed by some, was bestowed upon our children, and that upon the condition that they would fulfill certain requirements of them, so that God's fellowship with them was required or would be given to them truly, even though objectively they were already in that covenant, would truly be given to them only when they reached the years of discretion and by faith fulfilled the conditions of that covenant. Then God would continue to dwell with them. And they would say, "Well, here are the conditions. If thou wilt receive, if thou wilt incline thine ear, if thou wilt cry after, only then will God truly save you." Well, people of God, that's not at all what Solomon here is teaching to you as children and you as youth. Your salvation, children of the covenant, doesn't depend on you fulfilling certain conditions in your lives. You know why? You know why? Because every one of us here are born and conceived in sin. totally depraved according to our first birth, the birth of our parents. If God's covenant, if God's promise of salvation to you as children of the church depended on you, first of all, fulfilling certain conditions that God places, you'd never be included in God's covenant. You would never be saved. Because you see, in ourselves, apart from salvation, there is no spiritual capability to receive the Word of God, to have that knowledge, to have that understanding, to have that wisdom. We may be able intellectually to comprehend what's going on. We may even be able to come to a certain measure of intellectual understanding of how God's Word must be used in life. But we will never come to a true spiritual wisdom. Never. It's not in us. Just not in us by nature. On the contrary, the conditions of our text imply a work of grace that has already been worked in the heart of covenant children. It implies that there already is salvation in you, the children, the youth of the church. Jesus Christ already, through His Spirit, is working in your hearts, regenerating you, working in them the light of your salvation. So the exhortations of our text then don't rest on you. The expectations of our text rest on Jesus Christ and what He has applied to the hearts of covenant children, covenant youth in the midst of His church. God, by His grace, has given to you, children of the church, the spiritual ability to receive and to apply your heart to knowledge and to understanding. We well know that if God does not work in the hearts of our children, don't we, parents, that all the instruction we give them as parents will be of no avail in their lives. But when God does work in them, and we have just seen a testimony to that once again in the sacrament of baptism this morning, when God does work in the hearts of our children, then they are able to take the admonitions of the Word of God before us this morning and apply them diligently to their hearts so that they can gain wisdom. We have the old man of sin, however, in us, don't we, children? That's why the need for admonitions, too, in the Word of God that you must follow. The pull in you, just as well as in your parents, is to follow after our sinful flesh. So we need the admonitions of God's Word here. And that's why the instruction, do not walk after the foolishness of your own heart, but cry after wisdom. Now, so far I've already been addressing the children and the youth of the church. But I don't see all the children sitting here looking at me. I see you looking kind of at each other, wondering what the person sitting next to you is doing, maybe talking with each other. This is the Word of God that comes to children, not just to young people. They're the ones I see, they're listening, but to the children, to you, sitting here. Here's the Word of God that comes to you, and you have to listen. You have to hear what it's saying. Your parents, children, teach you in the ways of knowledge and understanding and wisdom in God's Word. They teach you that. You are called upon as children every day to put off your old man of sin, which would make you walk in the ways of foolishness, put on the new man of Christ, which makes you walk in the way of wisdom that is being taught to you by parents. Daily conversion, that's called. And when you view your parents then you ought to view your parents as a precious source of knowledge and understanding and wisdom in the Word of God. That's how you must look at your parents. And then seek wisdom. Verse 4. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. You must seek her as silver, Solomon says, and search for her as if it's a hidden treasure somewhere that you're looking for. See what that implies about wisdom? Wisdom? You want to be wise? Well, wisdom is of the greatest value to us in our lives. Children, have you ever read the book Treasure Island? If you haven't sometime, you've got to read that book. Read Treasure Island. The tale gives us some insight into what lengths sinful men, and I'm talking about sinful men in that book, will go to find a hidden treasure of silver and gold. They even killed people in order that they could find that hidden treasure of silver and gold. So much was it their desire that they would do anything to acquire that silver and that gold treasure that was hidden somewhere. They would search it out because in their sinful minds, that was the greatest of treasures. That was of huge value to them in their lives. Well, children of the covenant, that's what you must do when it comes to knowing God's Word, understanding God's Word, and then using God's Word to guide you through your life. It must be this hidden treasure that you will go to every extent to find in your life. Not to the extent that those sinful men did in the book Treasure Island, but the desire that they had for their treasure is the desire that we must have now for the knowledge of God's Word and therefore an understanding and wisdom of that Word too. And the question is, well, why is this wisdom so valuable? Why is it this precious treasure for you and me? Why should I crave to possess wisdom? Because to possess wisdom is to possess Jesus Christ. That's why. We learn that in several places of the Bible. If you read Proverbs 8, the whole chapter really teaches you about wisdom and that being Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24, we are told, point blank, Christ is called the power of God and the wisdom of God. Of course, Christ. It is He, after all, that works salvation in our hearts. We realize that, don't we, children? We're not good enough in ourselves to enter into heaven. Christ works salvation in our hearts. And we must know that. We must realize that. We must understand it. He has performed everything that was necessary to graft you and me into the covenant of God that He establishes with us and to give us all kinds of these precious promises that we're going to learn about tonight, by the way, in His Word. It's He that has called us through His Word and Spirit out of the darkness of unbelief. Otherwise, you and I would still be lost in our sin. We'd be lost. Christ has called us by His Spirit out of the darkness of sin and into the light of God and our salvation. He is the one who has merited everything for you and me on the cross of Jesus Christ. Everything that we need for salvation. He sanctified us in His blood by destroying the power and dominion of sin over us. He's made us holy. He's made us holy before God. We desire to walk in the ways of God because of what Christ does in us by His Spirit. And that means, children of God's covenant, that means there's nothing more valuable to you and me than Jesus Christ. Nothing. Not all the riches in the world, not all the silver and the gold of this world is as precious to you and to me as Christ. And that's why we say that parents are precious means that He uses too in our lives to impart to us wisdom so that we can know Christ. Storehouse of knowledge, our parents. Storehouse of experience in life, because you know what? Everything that we go through, they went through too in their lives, and they've learned from experience. So they can now take that experience and that knowledge and that understanding that they have, and they can impart it to you. That's why they instruct you. Now notice the phrases that Solomon uses here in passage before us. Verse 1. Receive my words, children. Now as a parent, I'm talking to you. Receive my words and my commandments. Verse 1. Verse 2. Incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Verse 3. Cry after knowledge. Lift up thy voice for understanding. Verse 4. Seek her as silver and gold. Seek her as a hidden treasure. All these phrases explain to you and to me the extreme desire that must be in our hearts as children of the church to seek after knowledge and wisdom. Listen to hear. Apply yourselves diligently. Even cry out for such wisdom. That's how precious it is. The result of being wise? Now that's given to us in the very last verse again. As we pointed out at the beginning of our sermon, now right at the end of the sermon, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Do all of this. You'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. When you find wisdom, you find, Solomon says, the knowledge of God. And it's rather striking that that word for knowledge there in verse 5 is not the same word that's used earlier on in the text. Here it's talking about a deeply spiritual knowledge. And, of course, we know that that knowledge is the knowledge of faith. It refers to the knowledge that results in our hearts in confidence and assurance. And we need that in this life. As children, we need that. But as adults, you'll find you'll need that a lot. That's the knowledge that we desire, the assurance and confidence of heart in this. God. We know who God is. That God is my God. He's my God. A God that loves me. A God, though He sits enthroned in the heavens in glory and in might and majesty. A God who in His power directs everything that takes place in this world so that nothing is happening by chance. That God, that great and that glorious God, He's my God. And I know and I understand that He loves me. That my sins have been forgiven me in the cross of Jesus Christ. That I'm one of God's children, not just children of my parents. I'm one of God's children. And I'm always under His protective care. He'll lead me. He'll direct me in my life. I can understand it as a child. I don't have to be an adult to understand those kinds of things. When we seek wisdom, when we seek that blessed assurance, then every circumstance of life falls into place. And that ultimately reveals itself in a fear of the Lord. There it is, the end of all things in our lives. The ultimate goal of our instruction, parents, ultimate goal of our instruction. We wish to see our children and our children's children walk in the fear of God's name. Humble, childlike awe at who that God is that we serve and that we follow in our lives. Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, that we confess every Sunday night. Reverential fear, that we stand before Him in reverence for who He is and what He does. Jehovah, the great I Am that I Am, that's the God whom we fear. It is our desire that our children will walk in that fear. Parents, that's our desire. Children, that ought to be our desire. So, is it? Is that our desire, children of the church? Fear God? Youth of the church? That your chief desire in life? Seek wisdom. Seek understanding. And then you're going to understand as well the fear of the Lord. You will experience in your hearts how all of life now centers in God Himself. So walk in wisdom. Fear God and keep His commandments. The chief duty of man. That, parents, that is your goal in instructing yet another child. And that, children, must be the goal of your life too. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we love Thee. And we love Thee because Thou dost love us and hast revealed that to us in all of life. May we know that, may we understand that, may we apply our hearts unto wisdom. And Father, may we fear Thee, the great, the glorious God of heaven and earth, as a child fears his or her parents. And give to us, Father, the necessary grace now to walk in wisdom's ways, so that we as Thy children also might be a witness to others of the glorious grace that Thou hast shown to us in our lives. We fail. We fail as parents. We fail as children too. Forgive us. And we pray, give unto us also the necessary grace to look to the cross of Jesus Christ, where alone we find the forgiveness of our sins. Bless us therefore in this day, and as we go forth again, so that we as parents might be renewed in the vows that we spoke at the time of baptism. Hear our prayer for Christ's sake. Amen.